Arnold Grimm's Daughter, presented by General Mills. Dusk was descending on the sea. Below deck, in the forward cabin of the Corbett's yacht, Aloha Second, the light from the portholes had that underwater look, green and shimmery. Grotesque reflections flickered upon the white paneling of the bunks. It was very still there in the cabin. Connie moved quietly, but quickly too, with a haste that made every gesture count. She spread a blanket on the lower bunk. On this, she placed a first aid kit, a bottle of alcohol, one of iodine, scissors, a roll of bandage, a package of needles, and a bit of fishing line. Then, she opened a locker and took out a round squat bottle. When she'd gathered all these things on the blanket and made a bundle of them, Connie paused a moment before she went back up on deck where her husband was waiting for her.
Dear God, give me the skill and the courage now to do this thing right. Make me calm. Make my hands swift and sure. For Jeff's sake and my love. Amen.
On deck, Jeff lies stretched out on his back, watching the fading sky. From his right leg, where the shark slashed at it, runs a dark river that stains the white deck.
Hey, what are all those things for?
Now, you mustn't ask questions now. Just lie still.
Oh, well, I will ask questions. All the questions are darn pleased.
Well, you're making your leg bleed more. I'm afraid it's a main artery.
Yeah? Well, we'll need a tourniquet then.
Yes, I brought along one of your big handkerchiefs. Now, I've got to lift your leg.
Ow!
I know it hurts, but we've got to stop this bleeding.
Well, shouldn't it go just above the knee there?
No, it has to be on the upper leg if the main artery is severed. I read about this just the other day in a magazine. I think it was Life.
I hope you read that article right.
No, I practically memorized it. Funny, it never occurred to me at the time that I'd ever have to... There. Does that feel any better?
Yes. Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. Sort of numb now. You're quite a girl, aren't you?
You never mind about me. Now, lie back, Jeff. We've just begun.
What do you mean, just begun?
Here's something for you.
Huh? Brandy? Oh, thanks. Say, just what are you up to, anyhow?
I'm going to operate on your leg.
Operate?
I thought a little brandy would keep you from minding too much. Serve as sort of an anesthetic.
Now, wait a minute. Now, listen here. I'm not going to let you fuss around with that gash in my legs.
Now, quiet, Jeff. I don't intend to let you lose a leg, either. You're the only husband I've got, and I want you intact. You know, let's put this blanket around you.
But what are you going to do? Thanks. It's good.
You were shivering.
It's getting dark, Connie.
Uh-huh.
Hey, do you suppose it's the cold? Maybe I'm just scared.
Oh, you're not scared. I know that. Now, turn over on your side just a bit.
Okay. Hey, look, can't I sit up and lean on my elbow?
No, honey, I'd rather you wouldn't.
But a guy feels so darn helpless flat on his back like this.
Now, this is going to hurt, Jeff. It's iodine.
Huh?
Are you all set?
Yeah. Fire when ready, Gridley. Oh. Yowie. Jumping.
Bad.
But you know those red hot pokers they used in the old days?
Medieval times.
Yeah, it was sort of like that. Oh, boy. In other words, it burned
I
like...
I know, honey, it must have. Now, just rest a minute. Lie still. Jeff, do you love me?
Sometimes I don't think I know what that word means. But you're my My whole life, Tommy. A day doesn't mean anything without you in it. You're the only thing that makes living have any sense. Is that loving?
I think it is, my dear. How's the leg feel now?
Not so bad. Hey, where are you going?
To get that coal oil lantern from our cabin.
Well, hey, wouldn't it be better for me to come down below there? I mean, it's going to be sort of awkward trying to patch me up here on deck, isn't it?
Don't you dare move, Jeff.
Well, I think I could drag myself down the ladder.
Oh, Jeff, please. You've got to stay where you are. The bleeding is just beginning to stop.
Okay.
Oh, you've lost more blood than you realize. Now, I think I can see well enough by this. I hope so.
Say, you can light a match in the wind.
Sure. That makes me a sailor, doesn't it?
Yeah. Lucky we had that lantern in the cabin.
Say so.
Now, look. I want to know exactly what you intend doing. I know you've put me off every time I've asked you before.
Jeff, your leg is badly torn. From your knee almost to your ankle. I'm afraid infection may set in unless the wound is closed.
Closed? Well, sounds as if we're in for a little sewing bee, huh?
Yes, that's it.
That's a ragged tear, I suppose.
Yes.
That's going to involve a little trimming up first, then, won't it?
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, have you ever done anything like this before?
Oh, no, I haven't. But, Jeff, there are certain times when one is capable of doing whatever is necessary.
You're not afraid to tackle it?
Oh, it's time to be.
Hey, you know, I think maybe that brandy was a good idea. I don't seem to feel the pain half so much now.
Well, that's what I've been waiting for.
In fact, I can scarcely feel any pain at all. So, I guess we'll have to thank your friend, Cripplesack. Maybe it was the iodine. Connie.
Yes?
I know you have more than your share of courage, honey. This isn't easy for you either, and I appreciate that. I know you're doing what you think is best. But, hey, look, with a thing like this, it takes a little skill, Connie.
Jeff, at a time like this, a woman finds that skill. Or is given it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I understand what you mean.
I'm using that very fine gut fishing leader of yours, dear. Mm-hmm. It was in a cellophane envelope that hadn't been opened.
Have you sterilized the scissors?
Yes, everything's been in alcohol. The leader, too. The needle is an ordinary one I use for darning. Are you satisfied?
Yes. But maybe it'd be just as well for us to wait. Let it go until we get back to Miami.
Honey, it's 4 hours back to Trevor's Island, and we'd have to refuel there. That would take time. And it's 8 hours from here to Miami. That's too long, Jeff.
Yes. So I guess you're right.
What I'm going to do can't make your leg any worse. And it may save it.
All right. Go ahead and get it over with. Are we stalling around here for? Go on.
Oh, Chief. I'm afraid to begin it. It's going to be so painful. I can't bear the thought of hurting you.
Wait a minute. Listen to me. Connie, you said you could do it. So you can. And dearest, you're going to. You made me believe you. Where is that faith you had in yourself a minute ago, Connie? Oh, honey, nothing's too hard if you really believe you can do it. Look at me. You do, don't you?
Yes, Jeff. I do.
Well, then, suppose you just forget who you are and who I am. Well, let's get busy. I'll lie very still here. I'll help you all again. Okay. Go ahead. I said go ahead. hang onto the railing. I look up at the sky. Count the stars. Oh, gee. There must be a million of them out tonight, honey.
Like a wooden figure, like a carving, and his costume frozen, the very essence of agony. You know, gold medal flour is guaranteed to give you completely satisfactory results, or your money will be refunded. That's the unqualified guarantee that goes with gold medal flour. Behind that guarantee are years of experience in milling fine flour, years of experience in selecting wheat, years of experience in testing by the Betty Crocker staff. So it's not a coincidence.
We interrupt this program to read you a special bulletin from the NBC newsroom.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom. The radio waves from across the Pacific have just been carrying one of the most dramatic stories of this whole war. Manila, the capital of the Philippines, has been bombed. For the first time since the Japanese launched their widespread assault in the Pacific. Over there in Manila, without sleep, without rest, Bert Sylan, NBC's correspondent, has just finished reporting to America at 1:45 p.m. New York time. And then, shortly after 2 o'clock, here in the NBC newsroom, we get a call. A call that Manila wanted the air. And there he was, Bert Sylan speaking. Those fateful words, Manila has been bombed. Up in the skies above the studio building, a brilliant moon was shining. Manila's air raid alarms had sounded once, and then the all-clear signal had come. But Bert Sylan said that as soon as the siren had said all clear, the sound of motors was heard. Japanese planes. They dove in to attack the United States Army base at Fort William McKinley. They attacked Nichols Field. They dropped bombs near the RCA radio transmitter. And then Manila's first bombing finally came to an end. The Japanese bombers streaked out to sea.
Robert St. John came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.